Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. It's really good to see you again, baby. And I must admit, you're looking very, very, very nice these days. I guess life must be treating you well. Oh, me? Well, I've just been doing the same old thing I've always been doing, you know. I've got a new lady now, and it's a little different than it was when I was with you. You know, I think back to when we met, the way I used to be, and the cold way I used to act. But more than that, I think of how you changed me with your love and sensitivity. Remember when I used to.
My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, my God, the phone lines are lit up. They are really, really lit up. You all got the word, and you know what time it is. We are going to be talking about relationships. I've got a very, very special show lined up for you today. My special guest, as you know, is Queen Afua. Queen Afua is an author and internationally renowned holistic health specialist. Queen Afua began her wellness journey back in 1969, and she has since built an empire that has expanded. It includes books, lectures, healing centers, and even music. Her very first book, Heal Thyself for Health and Longevity, was published back in 1993. And since then, I mean, she has really, really skyrocketed. I mean, that book really introduced her to a whole new legion of dedicated followers. And for nearly 30 years, she has presented her liberation through purification message internationally through publications, TV, radio, at hospitals, at colleges. And her impact on holistic wellness has reached such notable clients as Stevie Wonder, Iyanla Van Zandt, and Erykah Badu, just to name a few. And it is without further ado that I introduce to you Queen Afua. Queen, welcome, welcome, welcome to Juwanza for Life. It's great to have you back, my sister. Queen? Okay, let's see. This must be Queen. Queen, is that you?
Yes, me. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Welcome back.
I'm here. Thank you so much.
It's truly an honor. An honor to have you back, my sister. You have been on this path for a long time and healing and healing and healing and healing and healing. And there are so many people, as a result of connecting with you, have healed themselves themselves, and you actually teach teachers. You actually teach people that now go out and teach themselves. And I remember back when I first became introduced to you, this was back in 1998. You had just did a retreat in Washington, D.C., and that was, I think, the first retreat. And on that retreat, there was Jewel Prum, there was Moot Ma'at, Heteru Ong.
Yes, indeed.
Shashabnis Mahat Nefert, April. There were a lot of different people.
Wow.
And I became familiar with you through them. And ever since then, I've been reading your books myself and sharing your information with other people. You've been touching people's lives, talking about healing, liberation through purification, about relationships, and I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And you should see this phone line, they are lit up.
I'm with them too.
Talking about relationships, and everybody has tuned in. Sister Queen, let me ask a question for those who might just been born yesterday and they don't know who you are. Could you just share with our listeners actually got you started on this holistic health path? I'm always so curious to know when I reach this level in their work, what actually got them involved in it, because you were talking about holistic health long before it became popular.
Well, it started at a young age. I was 16 years of age, and at that point, I remember being sick I remember a sick body from age 7 to age 16. And every 3 or 4 years, another disease, another issue would erupt out of my body. And by the time I got to 16, I was like an old lady filled with disease. I had arthritis. I had chronic PMS. I had chronic asthma, allergies, hay fever, all of that, and headaches and fatigue. But I was an artist, so how am I going to be an artist and have all this happening? So I really was trying to find another way. I didn't know where and how it was going to happen, but I came on a healing retreat that changed my life. You know, so I know when one makes up their mind they want wellness, then it gravitates to them. They gravitate to it. And it was a marriage. I married wellness, and we have a very powerful bond. And I never separate from the wellness, no matter what is going on in my life. Matter of fact, if I have a crisis, I go deeper into my wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they have a crisis, they go from it. I go deeper because that's my way out.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me 2 21-day cycles to eliminate those issues. I picked up Dee Gregory's book, Cooking with Mother Nature, back then, and I started to do juicing, started to fast. I started to be with his family. You know, I read about him and his family and how they were healing at the time, and I had a model.
Mm-hmm.
And that encouraged me to go forward, even though there was no one really around me doing it at that time, only those who were at that healing retreat. And then years later, I met with some of them, years later, you know, but I had to keep going until I got well, and I did get well. And once I got well, I wanted to let everybody else know there was a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot really be fully satisfied if it's just you. You have to help someone else. You have to help your family, your extended family. So that's what I did. I went on this journey, and I never let up. Mm-hmm.
You know what's
interesting?
Well, you know what's so interesting, Queen, is that, you know, you started off healing yourself, and you went into liberation through purification, and ultimately, you know, here we are tonight, we're going to be discussing cultivating sacred relationships. At some point, your work took you into healing not just the body, but healing the spirit, healing relationships as well. You know, during that process, you came up with, it came through you, this process of the gateways. I mean, we're going to be talking about cultivating spiritual relationships, and if I'm not mistaken, that is one of the gateway spiritual relationships sacred relationships. And if you could just talk about the gateways as a foundation before we specifically get into the aspect of relationships, but there are certain gateways, and if people understand that as a foundation that you are divine, as a foundation that you are sacred, and then build from that if we can.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, all what I have found on my journey that every relationship is an extension. It's your heart of yourself. It is your arms. It is your thoughts. It is your feelings. Every relationship is yourself. It is a tapestry of different colors and shapes and circumstances that we create, that we're born into, but it's still us. And what a quote that I use in the last book, Circles of Wellness, is a statement, not a quote, but a statement, is the way out is in. So looking at sacred woman or looking at man, heal thyself, the way out of suffering, the way out of pain, the way out of rejection, the way out of hopelessness is actually to not go outside of yourself, but to go inside yourself and to, as you're going within through your meditation, steady meditation and prayer, steady journaling and self-reflection, you'll meet who you are, you'll meet what you created, and then you'll realize, oh, I can create a better world within, a healthier world. I can have healthier relationships. It's all from inside. And for me, that's been, it took years for me to come to that realization, because what you normally do is that you blame, it's my mother, or it's my father, it's my sisters, it's my spiritual leader, it's my friend. Everyone did it to me, really yourself. And so if you can go from that, if you're able through your healing, able to tap into that, then you get to your power. Mm-hmm. Then you become liberated. And it is a process. So Sacred Woman is a vehicle. I believe that all the books are saying almost the same things about healing, connecting. Your sacredness is your natural state. That's your state once you're purified. The unnatural way of living is why we're in pain. The goal is to come into our natural state and awaken our inner elements. We have to do that in order to wake ourselves up, because it's a sleep state. To blame, to harm self, to harm others, it is a sleep state. And so the power, my constant theme is the power to heal is within, and that we have the power to heal ourselves. So inside of Sacred Woman, there are gateways, there are doorways in to your divine self. And the ancient ones, our ancestors, wrote the book through me and told me what was needed in this present age. Sometimes you'll look at something and feel it's outdated, but just looking at one of the gateways and reflecting, in fact, when I speak to the women or the men, way up to Huli, wisdom. And that your words create your life. And when you realize your words, and which is your thoughts first, and then words, feelings, thoughts, words, creates the material that you have, then you'll start to shift your thoughts, your words, your breath, and so that what comes out of you are words that build and words that heal. And so that's called hekau, words of medicine. And so you always be, as old people say, you have to think before you speak, because you're going to create something that you don't want to have to pull back. You want to be very conscious of what you're bringing forth. So that's just one of the gateways that you can begin to work with your psychology and your emotions through just speaking yourself to life, bringing yourself to life to every word that you utter.
Would you say that a person's relationship, or now we're talking about specific, I'm speaking of a love relationship between a man and a woman, that your relationship is a reflection of not just who you are, but where you are. Can a person judge how far that they themselves have come just based upon your mate, based upon who you have attracted to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. You can actually, there's an exercise that I give, and that is to write your very first, second, third, fourth, whatever your mate, the ones that came for a moment, the ones that stayed for a while. And what you want to do is you want to analyze where you were at that time, your thoughts, your attitudes, how you felt about life, how you feel about your parents, how you felt about your parents, and what you were eating, why you were eating it. Just analyze yourself from that time zone, that time capsule of the relationship. And you can make a circle, put yourself in the very center of the circle, and then divide it by four, then just put four relationships or eight, or however many relationships you've had in a love relationship zone. And then in the first circle, you're going to put the name, and you're going to put the feeling that you have, the thoughts that you have with that name. Then you're going to create another circle. You're going to take the names out and leave just the thoughts and the feelings and the attitude and all of that. And what you're going to be left with is yourself. That is exactly what you created. But we call it Joe, Kwame, Michelle, Barbara, Ma'at. You call these names, but it's really you. And if you, when you start to analyze, you say, oh, that's what I was going through at that time. That's how come, you know, and you know it because you say, wait a minute, there's a pattern here. I keep creating the same relationship. The outfit changes, the conversation may shift a bit, but it all comes out to be the same relationship. And matter of fact, I did that two or three times. So is it really Barbara, Joe, Kwame, or Sarah, or Ma'at? Or is it reflecting and showing up as myself? Those relationships give you an opportunity to see yourself so you can actually thank them all. Even though they might have been hard, difficult, horrendous, they're all part of your conscious or unconscious state. So our unconscious state is, as we start to clean up, we start to go deeper and say, this is what I created. I can create something different. And you begin to unravel and see yourself and not beat yourself up, but love yourself through it. Nurse yourself through it and begin to see the new life that you really want to create. And so you look at what you don't want. Now look at what you do want. And then start to affirm that through your actions, through your deeds, through your words, through what you put in your body, because everything radiates. Even if you don't say, you have a relationship that beats you up and puts you down, well, you may not be aware, you may not be conscious, and it's pocketed in the closet of your subconscious. And so really what you're feeling, and it's recycled childhood relationships, and they just keep spiraling into this relationship or that. It's all the same. And if you can go back as far as you can go to remember where it all began, then you'll begin to purify, unravel, and learn. The big piece here is to learn. If you learn from the relationships, then you'll be free from the lower frequency of it. If you don't learn and say, well, I'm good, I'm perfect, I'm wonderful, I have something wrong with him and her. If you stay there, then you're definitely going to have that same scenario repeating itself in some way, fashion, or form. So our relationships are all us.
Well, what about, let's say you have, and I don't know what to term it other than karmic residue, for lack of a better term. I can't think of another.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Let's say you meet somebody and relationship, it might not have even been physical. It just might have been you just were just extremely close with this person. I mean, close that if you weren't, let's say, in a relationship, you just know that you would be in a relationship with this other person. But you were never intimate with this individual. But it just might have been, say, a couple of months that, you know, you might have spoken every day. You know, you all created this space, this sacred space where you each honored the other person's situation. But now, for whatever reason, that dissolved, you know, but now this residue remains, and now this individual, it's almost like their spirit or the residue of their spirit lingers. Now, I know that John Levan Zant talks about a reason, a season, and a lifetime. By the way, speaking of Iyanla, texting back and forth today, and I told her that you were going to be on. She said to make sure that I told you hello for her. So you got a hello.
Oh, I love her. I love her so much. She's my soul sister.
Okay. So
yeah,
residue.
Give her back my love.
Okay.
Well, we never die. According to our ancestors, we never die. So if we don't die, we have relationships that move and breathe, and they ebb and flow. So it's really love. And so how do we handle love? We handle love with grace, with wisdom, We handle love with justice and peace, appreciation. And so we ask, we go within and we ask, Most High, with this love that I have, what am I to do with it? And you'll be guided. You'll be told. Mm-hmm. You'll be told this is this relationship now, it was intimate before. You'll be told. Mm. But now it is a relationship of deep, profound appreciation and wonderful exchange of ideas and concepts. Because one gets married, one becomes devoted to a person, love doesn't lock you into a box. But it's what we do with that and what is appropriate for our development. Otherwise, we just grab everybody. You know, we're here, we grab this one this year and this one this season. And no, what's the purpose of the relationship? My son used to tell me, he said, Ma, when he was very young, he thought that all my clients were my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved, he said, "Well, where are all your friends?" I had explained that they're my clients, but I love them. So because this may not be known, because I love them, they love me, and we have a beautiful, intimate heart relationship. Mm-hmm. I have it in proper perspective. What is the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to honor the relationship of the present, and appreciate what the relationship was and what the new relationship is revealing itself to us. Relationships are not to cause us to become sick.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're on a high level, they're not to make us sick. They're not to make us deceitful, dishonest. That's dis-ease. We want whole, healthy relationships. And if you can love someone's intellect, you can love an exchange of ideas, you will grow within that. And it's discipline to have a healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just eat everything because you think
that's true.
Oh, looks good. You eat what is appropriate for your development, for your growth. Otherwise, you just have a life of suffering. Mm-hmm. Just to be in tune, what is this relationship and what am I to do with this relationship? And then you'll be obedient to spirit. And you'll have a healthier life. And a lot of times we're hurting, we're agitated, and we just want something different. But if we would tap into our consistency within ourselves of our own wellness, then we would not find ourselves in relationships that continue to compromise us. Because I hear a compromising relationship. I hear a lot of hurt. So you don't want to go from one. If you can just start looking at you, what you have to do is look from the past to go forward, and you'll see that you did this before, and you're about to do it again. So the more that you take, so then that's when it's the medicine. You need medicine. You need nature's medicine. There's elements in that being that you need, but you have those elements in yourself too. So it won't overtake you. So if your element of your air is weak, you'll go to someone who's expansive and they're constantly growing with ideas. You may go to them for that because you need that. But if you start to tap into your own breath and your own creativity, then you won't crave the relationship. You'll appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to a garden and seeing all these beautiful flowers. Go to the botanical garden. You start picking all the flowers out of the botanical garden. The lotus taught me that. The lotus, when I would bring a group of sacred women and men, heal myself, to the botanical garden, and I want to touch the lotus flower, but it's in a place. First, it's in the water, in the mud, and it grows from out of the mud and it comes up through the water. But you can't reach it; it's unreachable, and that's a good thing. Because if we all could reach it, the next person would not ever see the lotus, it would be destroyed. So we have to be able to appreciate some things that are at a distance and say, what a beautiful woman, what a beautiful man, what a beautiful concept, what a beautiful vision, and be able to be centered while you're saying how beautiful it is, as opposed to grabbing it or trying to possess it. And it's not for you. All you do is just keep asking, Most High, is that my mate? No, that's your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my mate? No, that is a business partner.
Mm-hmm.
You discern. There's a level of discernment, a level of balance that you want to come in. That's Ma'at. See, Ma'at helps us out too, because Ma'at is one of the gateways, and for both, a whole nation was based on the principle of Ma'at. And so on one side is a scale, and everything has to be weighed on that scale because you always have to be a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And on one side of the scale is the heart. The other side of the scale is the feather. Your heart has become light as a feather, not heavy, because relationship. When you want something that you cannot have, that's not for you, then you're coming out of my eye. You're coming out of balance. And then you'll ultimately look back and you'll hurt yourself. You'll hurt the person. You're going to hurt other relationships that are connected to you. So you have to always look at the relationships as balance and strive for that harmony and appreciate the relationship that has come back again in this time. Like, wow, what an opportunity has come again. And
wow.
But it's coming again in this form. Take it to the heights.
You know, that is beautiful, Queen. That is really, really beautiful. And I think that more conversations need to be had, even just concerning non-physical
mm-hmm.
intimacy, because there
mm-hmm.
are a lot of people out there that rather than create this sacred space where the two of you can actually bask,
mm-hmm.
and although you may not physically, brother, you may not physically wash her hair, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, spiritually,
mm-hmm.
you can wash your friend's hair, okay? You might not physically kiss her forehead,
mm-hmm.
but you can spiritually
mm-hmm.
forehead. You might not physically kiss her hand or physically wash her feet, but spiritually you can do that, and the relationship can remain sacred, and the space
mm-hmm.
can be such it can become heaven, you know.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm glad that we're even having this discussion because, again, it's very, very needed, because there are a lot of people out here that are in situations where they might meet somebody, and like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
so beautifully, that this is somebody that you knew before, and that intense feeling that you're feeling might have been because of a previous karmic relationship, and now you're experiencing the residue. Is that correct?
Yes, and that intense feeling can be worked. You can
mm-hmm.
do some intense creative work together.
Mm.
You can create, how I look at the books, I look at them like my babies. I carried them, I nursed them, and then I birthed them. And then I have to cultivate them when they go out in the world. So you can have relationships that you can grow with, and that you can be so in love with the vision and the work and the purpose. You always want to ask Most High, what is my life? What is my work? It's within. You have the answers. How
mm-hmm.
am I to live? You know, you're going to eventually come to those questions. You're going to come now, you'll come later. Usually you come after you had a lot of pain, and
mm-hmm.
now you're ready to ask some questions and listen. So, you know, in the beginning of your early of your part of your life, you will bump into a lot of things that you're like, wow, I should have not done that. I should have looked. I should have discerned. I should have held back. Well, that's what you're young, you're immature, but as you mature and you get wise, then
mm-hmm.
you're able to think before you act. You know, so that when you act, it is in harmony with what the relationship is actually coming to bring you. It is wonderful that you have that much love. So now what are we going to create? This great piece of art, this great non-for-profit organization is going to serve the community.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the love? How is the love going to be expressed? Because the love must be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to be expressed? And to be so tapped in that you want to be open. But what happens also, your diet, what you're eating is eating at you. So a lot of time it's agitation. It's toxicity. You're acting because you feel there's a void, there's constipation of the organs, of the lungs, of the heart, of the spirit. And so you go through these relationships to get fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't fulfill yourself. So that's why things get out of balance. So it's really self-preservation, self-healing, self-transformation. All relationships are us. So that means that you really need to give yourself a whole bunch of love. If you see somebody that you just desire and you can't get over them and they're not for you, then, oh, I got a lot of work. I got a lot of healing baths to do. I got
mm-hmm.
some yoga to practice. I have some juicing I have to do. And I have to purify myself so that I don't wreck myself.
Right.
And that old song, you know, if you don't check yourself, you wreck yourself. So you don't want to go out on the limb any further. Because you've learned from your past, you've done it before. Coming back again, did you pass the test?
Mm.
Are you going to close your eyes
again? perspective. You're putting a lot of things in perspective for a lot of people. And I know you should see these lines again. Let me just make it clear that if you have a question for Queen, or you'd just like to make a comment, you're listening, you know that you've read her books, you want to tell her thank you for writing them, you know, please just press 1 if you're listening by phone, and I can bring you on board and you can ask your question or make your comment. If you're listening online, and I know you're out there, the number to call in to ask your question is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. 5727. My name is Juwanza. Her name is Queen Afua, and we're talking about relationships, how to cultivate a sacred relationship. Well, you know, as Queen mentioned, our relationships are a reflection of us. So if we're desiring, say, a sacred relationship, then one way to go about achieving that is to make sure then that what we're manifesting is sacred. Is that correct, Queen? Because we're all
Absolutely.
Energy and we're vibrating and we're going mm-hmm. to attract people that are on our vibratory wavelength, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Relationships are your frequency, they're the colors and shapes of what you're feeling. There's a little book I'm going to eventually put together. Relationships keep coming to me. People keep asking about relationships. I'm just closing out a relationship 8-week training. And so it just brings me back to 3 words. It's all me.
Mm.
And everybody, when I say it's all me, they say, They start, because you start going to the pages and the file cabinets and the back in 19 and 20, this, and you say, wow, it's all that's me. That cannot be me. That cannot be me. That is a big job. You are a big being. You are, all of this is me, that I can shift all of that because it's all you. And so I do energy reading, and I'll check your elements, ether, air, fire, water, earth. And wherever there is a blockage, it shows up in the physical body. It shows up in the emotional body. It shows up in the relationship body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are depleted and drained, you may be sucking on someone's life force, and then they start to react to that, and they start to rebel or push you away, and you say, well, what is that? Because you need earth. You need the earth element to balance you out. But if you know how to bring that earth through your meditation, through your affirmations, your words, I am powerful, I am mighty, I am strong, and then take the green foods and the green juices, And then you'll start to return back to your center, the I am. I am that I am a shiny being dwelling in light. So it comes really back to ourselves. There's a prayer for the women that the men can work with, and it says, I am the woman who lightens the darkness. I have come to light the darkness. It is lightened. I have overcome the destroyers. I am there for those who weep, who hide their face, who sunk down. They looked upon me dead. I am a woman. I am a healer, which means I am. It's really the I am that you're looking at. And everything you say, so as soon as you want to point your finger at somebody and be upset, you know, how could they do that? Why do they do that? You have to go back within. It's hard, but it becomes easier because you see the benefits of it. And you start to come out of the cesspool, out of the Katia Wise, the master musician who works with me, and we work together. When I first was working on the book Circles of Wellness, he says, well, what about the spiral when you go up? So it made me really think about that, because you could stay in a circle and keep bumping into the same people, same circumstance, the same pain, the same trauma. But what happens if you learn from that circle, really go in that deep circle, which is yourself, an reflection, and then you start to elevate up into a pyramid, to a Merkut. You start to elevate up, which is one of the sacred images of sacred visions that we have to climb up to in order to come out of the death zone of relationship, the disease state of constantly attracting a violent relationship, an abusive relationship. And you have to start saying, well, what am I doing to myself? Am I abusing myself? And so you'll see that on some level you're not caring for yourself. You're not taking time for yourself. I just had a wonderful session. My spirit told me to go visit someone from years ago. You know, her sons were in prison, and they just came out. So I congratulated her and hugged her. And then she just sat there for a moment. She said, you know, do you have anything to, so I have an addiction to, you know, this Coca-Cola. She said, mm-hmm. ask me what I ate today. I said, what did you eat today? She picked up the bottle of Coca-Cola. She said, that's what I've been eating, drink. I said, well, I'm going to come on Monday, give you a care package and lift you up out of that state. I'm going to give you some nutrients because you need to be fortified. But when you're fortified, you're loved up. You're cared up. So somewhere in her DNA, she was calling for help. Mm-hmm. She was so grateful. She said, I'm putting it out on social media. I said, Critical came by and gave me a drive-by wellness call. And so I'm just saying that we call out our help at hand. We also call out our pain. So we can go back. The way to go back to your parents. It's not easy. Go back to them. Not to blame them, but to learn. Because you chose those parents. You came through them for lessons that they gave you. So mm-hmm. inside of that, there's forgiveness. You got to go back. Well, however you do it. Because otherwise you're going to create the same husband, the same wife is your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather. And you're just recycling them. And those same people come right into the family. They'll fit right into your family, violent people, angry people. They'll fit right into your family because that's what you were raised up in. So that means you'll have to look back and then give the light of forgiveness and say, I forgive you for your ignorance. I forgive you for the pain because you were in pain. You know, hurt people do hurt people. And mm-hmm. as you start to heal that past up, then you can have a healthier relationship with the mate. Then you'll be able to see things that you could not see before because you were blinded by the hurt.
Everybody, you're listening to the voice of Queen Afua. Press 1 if you're online, or shall I say on the phone, and you want to make a comment or ask your question. And let's talk, if we could, for a moment, Queen, about mm-hmm. perception. Because, again, we're talking about cultivating sacred relationships. So if you want to cultivate a sacred relationship, and if we're coming from the position that we are all divine and that we are all sacred and that our mate is our mirror, in fact, then mm-hmm. how do you take, let's say now, let's again back to perception, because I know that there are a lot of, and I know I'm going to be speaking to somebody's situation. I'm not a prophet, mm-hmm. but I'm speaking to somebody's situation. Okay, there's a sister out there who might mm-hmm. make more money than her man, okay? She might be a professional woman, okay? Mm-hmm. And now she now wants to honor her mate as king, or, you know, she's the goddess and he's the god, okay? But through conditioning, social conditionings, there might be a situation where now she has to view him as king or view him as sacred, okay? And as she views herself as sacred and view him as having brought something to the table that mm-hmm. Her life required. And the same for them. Let's say, for example, you may have a brother who makes more money than his queen. Okay, mm-hmm. now she might not bring anything to the table in terms of finances. She might not be even working, you know, but he has mm-hmm. to view her and see the value in her to his life because he drew her. So he didn't mm-hmm. draw her for no reason at all. So if we could just talk about be able to perceive your mate as divine, because in order to see what it is that God is bringing to you through them, you have to see the God in them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're right on it. Well, it's what we value. We're not all earth. We're not all finance. We're not all physical. We're body, we're mind, we're spirit. We're visions, we're aspirations, we have all different gifts. So even in the work that I'm doing, when I work with my team, several of us had to come together to put a particular package together to present. And it took someone to have the skill of marketing. It had someone else who had the skill of packaging it beautifully, magnificently. And someone else had to now connect the website to that, who mastered that area. Someone had to say, this is what we're going to put in it to make it effective so that it will vibrate in a way that we want a big response back. So it took several of us coming together. So could I do it by myself? No. it took several of us to come together to create a one concept. So what's running that relationship? What's running that household? What is, so it's not just the money that comes into the house that's running that. It is who's preparing the food, how is the house set up, what colors are being put in, what activities are happening for the family, how's the family working together to with ideas. Because someone may have, like in my household, I came with the books and the charts, but my family has circled around that and said, well, I have expertise in this and that. So who's on the higher or the lower level because of finance? That's just one attribute of what helps to keep the family, the relationship moving forward. So, yes, we have to look at each other's, the value is not limited to a thing. See what is good for, what is healing, what is magnifying, what is strengthening, and it could not possibly be finance alone. So you, when you look at that, then you can appreciate the blessings and the gift of the union.
The so now then, how do you know there's somebody out there, I'm gonna speak to somebody else's situation. Again, I'm not a prophet, but somebody's saying, well, Queen, how do you know when it's time to move on? How do you know, like, for example, I could hear some sister saying, he's not beating me. Mm-hmm. He's not going up my head. He's not verbally abusive to me. You know, he's a good guy even. You know what I mean? It's just something in me that just says I need more, you know. And the same thing for a brother. There's a brother out there listening. You know, he's sweet. Yeah, you know what I mean? She's intelligent. She's smart. You know, but I'm just not feeling that like I used to. You know, and how do I know when it's time to move on?
Well, you get the different signs. What happens is relationships are not locked in a box. Relationships expand. They grow. And the relationship has to be fed. You have to feed a relationship. You have to nourish a relationship. You have to communicate in relationship, and the relationship can grow through the ages. If it gets stuck, if one is constantly growing and developing, learning new things, traveling, and the other one says, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that. That's not my direction. It's not as good or bad. It's just they're going in two different directions.
Okay.
In the beginning, it's almost like everything we had in common. You're excited.
Mm-hmm.
Your vision. You saw what you can do together and how you can grow, and you were just spending a lot of time together. You had a lot of conversation. You were in communication. You were nurturing each other. You were being together at different events. Things were happening. It was alive. It was organic. But if it's not nourished and fed, then it will begin to die. You have a choice. If you want to continue the relationship, then the relationship has to come together, and you have to now say, okay, now this is a new relationship we have because I have grown and you have grown. We are growing in different ways. How can we now grow together? If it is, and then you go into your sacred inner space. Take your healing bath. Get up there at 4 o'clock. Light a candle. Said, ask the question. The divine is within. And just ask Most High, is this relationship complete? And if you get that the relationship is complete, then you have to have the courage to speak the truth. And if you speak the truth, the relationship may say, there's some light still here. And then you start to discuss, is there enough breath, enough light, enough creativity for us to continue on our next journey? Because a relationship is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Some journeys are only going to get you from here to the corner. And some journeys will move you through years.
Mm-hmm.
And some journeys, they complete, and you have to say, is it complete? And then leave from it beautifully with appreciation. See, sometimes we stay too long.
Mm-hmm.
You stay over time, like you go out, you stay this part too long. You have to know when it's time to leave. And then when is the time to stay? You know? So when the more in tune you are to yourself, that's why the healing consistent, because you're constantly changing. Relationships are constantly changing within you. When you look back, some people have been in your life and they go, what, tight is tight.
And all of a sudden, it wasn't male and female like that. You just was tight friends, tight vision, and something happened. You grew. And now the person grew in another direction. You might meet each other a year later, 5, 10 years later. But it went into another direction. And so it took a journey. It just did not mean that you're going to see that relationship again, but on a higher level. Because the relationships are us, all of them. So it's knowing when it's on different planes. Some relationships, it's, you can ask the inner question, Most High, is this relationship for me? And if you get, yes, this is for you, clearly, the first mind that comes up, yes, this is for you. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. Why is it hard? Because it's challenging me to grow. I don't want to grow, but it's challenging me to grow. So this is a healthy relationship in me. I don't want to do this. The other person said, you need to do this. And you say, okay, I really do need to do it. I'm going to do it now. There's something you keep showing up in my life that I need to do, and it keeps showing up in other areas that I need to do this, and it's this relationship, this is the vehicle to help me overcome. So I'm going to overcome. And so we look at that as, oh, that's a tough relationship. No, that's a relationship that's growing you. So you're having growing pains. And so you have to recognize and see what that relationship is. And then the relationship said when it's complete, you know, you can feel it. You can feel when something is done. It's like you drink water. You know when you're finished drinking water that you had enough. You feel full. So you're full of now it's time. It has completed. I've learned everything I can. And we're having two different discussions. We're not connected any further on how we see life. So when you ask and you say it's complete, then no, it is time. It is complete.
You know, this conversation is one that could go on forever because, again, we're constantly growing and we're constantly healing. So if there was a message that you had for both genders, for the women, I'll ask you to, you know, give your message for the women on this spiritual journey and for the men as well, because there are a lot of men who look at this whole spiritual path just as, you know, oh, that's a woman thing, you know, yoga and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, you know, that's for the sisters. But sisters are looking for men that are in tune, you know, sisters as going and getting in touch with themselves. Brother, she's looking for somebody that's going to be help her to get in tune with herself, help her to understand her own emotions, even as you start to open up and start to even share some things that you might have been unwilling to share or didn't even know was there to share. But, you know, brother, sharing is going to be part of your journey as well. As you embark upon this spiritual path, you're going to have to learn to talk to your mate. Is that correct, Queen?
Absolutely. Well, one of the ways in which we can bring them both together is the sacred geometry. There are sacred symbols that help to direct our course. One of such you can look at is the I am circle, which is a circle, a larger circle, and in the middle there is a dot. That's a circle of light. And that's what we all need, light, enlightenment, awareness. We're in pain, we're suffering, we're feeling unloved, uncared for, we're resentful because we're not connected to our own I am, our own inner power. So to connect to the I am powerful, I am divine, speak yourself into existence, that relationship is going to come to you. You want whole, healthy, vibrant relationships. Male, female, you want healthy, whole, vibrant relationships. But you have to first have that with yourself. So it's always one when someone comes to me and says, well, I don't have a mate. I say, oh, this is wonderful. That means you have time to really focus on you. So if you have a mate, then you focus on each other, which is the one. It's one, still one relationship. But if you're without an external expression of yourself, you're never without because it's going to show up in friends and associates and coworkers. It keeps showing up who you are. But in that I am, you start to detox. It's about relationship detox with self. So begin to fast, begin to pray, begin to affirm, and give yourself a whole season of just focusing in on you. And listen to your inner self. The other symbol is a symbol of Ankh, which is life. And we all have this symbol in us. On the very top of the
Ankh is a circle, which represents the feminine quality. That's the intuitive, that's the creative, that's the artistic, that's the love. So that's represented as in both women and men. The one who's very sensitive, the healer, that's represented in the man or woman. That's the healer, that's the circle. On the bottom is the base, which is the stability. That's the earth, that's the material, that's the finance, that's the prosperity. That's the foundation. We both, women and men, need that. When you bring that together within yourself, you are spiritual, you are affirming yourself, you are being creative, you are beginning to live your life's purpose. Of course, you're going to have a relationship that's going to reflect that. And then you also bring in the prosperity in because you're now you're listening from within. Where is my finance coming from? What is my work and my purpose? You're merging your spiritual and your material together as one force. Out of that merge, you will see the fruits of your labor. It will start to show up. It will start to bring that to you that you your heart desire. And that's the arms. The wings are the arms of the Ankh themselves. So you have the head, which is the consciousness. You have the stability. And then you have the spreading of the wings of what you create from inside, bringing the masculine and the feminine principle together. Then you get your wings and you begin to fly and soar. Every man needs that, and every woman needs that. And if you could give that, fulfill that within yourself, take time now to fulfill that within yourself, whether you're with your mate or not with the mate, then your mate will reflect on higher ground. It may take more time because you have denied yourself a high level of love and care for a long time. So you have to turn that whole thing around and say, wow, for 30 years I haven't been showing love to myself. I've been beating myself up. I've been putting myself down. I've been taking any old relationships, you know, just because they gave me a little hug. And so I've got to change that. And so take a few seasons to really get seasoned in your self-care, self-love, and that's going to show up in your mates and in your choices of mates and in your relationships beyond, you know, all, overall. And then the final one is the mirror. We created the mirror. It's an African concept. It's a mirror. And on the bottom of the mirror is the oldest mirror is a symbol of Het-Heru, love.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look in the mirror of your own soul, you will see yourself. What does it look like? Giving you respect and love, or you are giving appreciation and kindness, or abuse and hurt. What's reflecting back at you, and what are you giving to life? And if you're looking in the reflection and you don't like what you see, then you can change it. The power to heal is within. You can go to higher ground.
Sister Queen, we have a few moments left. If we could we talk about celibacy? Because in relationships, when you're talking about sacred relationships, I'm not saying you should be celibate for the rest of your life, okay? But there are sisters who have come out of a relationship and decided that, you know, for the next 6 months or for the next year or until I get married, you know, I'm going to be celibate. I'm going to try to connect with brothers on a whole nother level. And some brothers have done the same thing. They said, you know, look, you know, I'm not really trying to go there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I need just, you know, to get back in touch with myself, you know what I mean? That whole energy can really become overwhelming at times. Could you talk about celibacy and the benefits of just taking time off from that in-depth type of connecting because in that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, celibacy actually allows you to become more intimate. It allows you to, because oftentimes one will use, as opposed to loving, you're sexing. You're just basically hitting each other, banging each other. But to be intimate with yourself and begin to be honest with yourself, that's very intimate. To be able to speak the truth to a relationship. Sometimes relationships jump in the bed and they realize, wait, who are you? What is it that you don't like? Why are you acting like that? Who raised you? You start to ask questions after. So you pay for stuff later. So it's called honoring yourself. Give yourself that honoring time and honoring the relationship that you have. He might say, you know what?
I've had sex enough. I think I can take a break now and just actually meet you and really meet you on a deeper level. So that how many relationships you go in and you regret it and you're intimate or you conceive. You know, so many babies came on the first run. Bam, the baby's here. And now you just got to adjust and you're mad at each other and the baby's coming to the world with stress and the mother, she's going through 30 hours of labor because she's all stressed and mad. And so we have to think before we act.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, as you develop your spiritual, emotional, mental state, because what happens is whatever, whoever you are, whatever you're carrying, when you change and go with inside of each other, it's passed on. So if one is has hatred, fear, a steak dinner, hamburger and french fries, when you come into each other, that's what you pass to each other.
Mm-hmm.
The one who is toxic, well, and if the other partner is not toxic and they've been doing healing and all of that, then the one who who's toxic will feel better because they drink from a cleaner well.
Mm.
The one who is purified will get extremely sick. And I've seen that happen. Okay, so that happens. So then the regret and the anger kicks in, either not from the one who was sick and was able to release the poison and then pull and drink in the wellness of the other being, because
mm-hmm.
we're literally food for each other. So what kind of food are we eating? Are we eating the same kind of food? Are we having the same harmonious thoughts? So that's what's going into each other, really, your thoughts, your feelings, your lack, your anger about your past, all that is being intimately connected. So now you're walking away months later, still walking around with the person's energy in you.
Wow.
And wondering what happened.
Hmm.
It's dangerous. So we don't just pass physical disease on. We also pass emotional, psychological disease in that way. So we've got to meet each other. We have to have time when we meet each other to clean up. Do
mm-hmm.
some cleansing together. Then if it's all about the sex, then at least your orgasm will be stronger than ever. But if you can go to higher ground and begin to really purify, you're going to have a very rich opportunity with each other.
You know, and I want to speak to the brothers just for a moment, that there are sisters out here that are looking for something more. There are sisters out
mm-hmm.
here are tired, you know, that, and they're searching. And they're searching for something more than sex. And sometimes they may think that what they want is sex, but really, they really might just need to be held, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So my brothers out there, I challenge you. Can you create a sacred space that your friend can feel safe in coming to you and releasing, and coming to you and collapsing if necessary, and coming to you? Can you wash her hair? Okay, can you give her a massage? One of the things I've heard women say is that they wish that they could just get a massage from their mate, because every time he tries to go somewhere else with it, you know. So I challenge brothers, can you give your mate a massage? Can you massage her feet? Can you run her bath water and put bubbles in it? Okay, can you create that space where, you know, you all can actually play and just be intimate and be innocent, okay, without her feeling like, I can't let my guard down. I got to keep my eye on him because I know that, you know, there's something up. Can you create a space of trust? Can she trust you? I challenge brothers to be the man, to be the king, you know, say and use
mm-hmm.
these, I'm the king, she's the queen, but what are the virtues that a king possesses? You know, and actually think about that. What are the virtues of a king? And then try to emulate and bring those virtues into your life so that your queen can actually view you that. Because it's more than just saying, I'm a queen. It's more than just saying I'm a king. You know, what is a king? You know, what are the virtues of a king? And bring that to your mate so that she can honor you and respect you the way that you want to be honored and respected. One of the things I hear brothers say a lot is that their mates don't respect them. They don't talk to them with a particular amount of respect. Well, we all know who we're talking to. At any given time, when we're speaking to somebody, we know who we're speaking to. Okay, for example, a woman might cuss you out, but she's not going to curse her supervisor out. Why? Because she knows who she's talking to. So my point here is that if she knows who she's talking to and she's cussing you out, then you have to ask yourself, well, what have I presented to her to make her feel that she can speak to me in that manner? Same thing, and it goes the other way around. You know, not just the way brothers, women speak to you, but how do you speak to her? You know, Sister Queen, one of the gateways you talk about is sacred words. That's important. Can you speak about that?
Yes. Well, it goes back to, I was actually starting to look at in the book, From a Sacred Woman to Her King Man. But, well, words. Words actually are feelings of past. So we bring those words from our mother and our father into our current relationship. So that has to be healed up, because the words have actually caused more damage. And once the words, and women have a power with words, so we have to really be mindful, you know, what we're saying, and vice versa, because it comes right back. You know, it's a circle. So it goes back to Hekau, speaking your relationship to higher ground, speaking yourself to higher ground. And as you begin to speak from a higher place, you want to speak the way you want to be spoken to. You want to be treated the way that you're treating. So if you are out of alignment with the relationship, then it won't work. And for the men, for the women, with the men who are just like, you know, they want to get intimate, it's a training that they had. To be a man, you have to get into, you got to get into sex, you got to get into bed. So it's a training. And so it has to be cleaned up where it comes into harmony and balance. And so it won't, every time he touches her, he has to be intimate, he has to have sex. He will be able to touch her through looking at each other, through just kissing her neck or holding her hand. He'll be more sensitive. He would have heightened his frequency as she's heightening her frequency. And, you know, it's easier for women to contain themselves because the way our bodies are made from inside. And men, their genitalia is outside, so they can feel things quicker in that way. So we have to be able to help them with the elements, the women. We have to run the bath for them. They'll run the bath for us. Or you have to give them you have to have them do their breath work because they want to just release out. And they'll find that they'll have longevity, because many men, by the time they hit 40, 45, I hear a lot of men are impotent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the diet, it's all the poison, it's the, a little alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, coffee, sugar, all that over the 40 years of that, the body breaks down. And so if we clean up ourselves, both women and men, and we work together, then we can have a rich, long-lasting union. And so for men to start to do this type of work now, if you have a mate who wants that, he's giving himself an opportunity to have longevity. And he'll have sexual longevity, and we'll have to do it. They make love every new moon, every full moon, you know, and it'll be stronger than sporadically, you know, just releasing. Because and oftentimes people are coming together because they're hurting, and they're mad, or they don't feel cared for. So that's how they release the hurt and the disease. So what's actually being injected into the union, into each other's bodies. So we have to be mindful. Is it really love, or it's lust, or we're in pain and we just want to get it off, we want to let it go? And so the healing of each other is paramount. You know, it's about cleaning up all relationships from the past, forgiveness, learn from them, grow, self-analyze, study with each other. What relationships did you bring to the table from your past? Sit down together and say, you know, these are some relationships I've had in my past. Will you love me if I tell you the truth? You know, and he'll say, these are some relationships I've had, and let's analyze that, because I don't want to repeat it here. I want this to be a whole healthy union. So if we can help each other, be each other's psychotherapist, what was it? Do we argue a lot? Were we always upset? Did we not feel fulfilled in an area? What was the issue? How can we now, with this new relationship, what can we bring to the table that will fortify us and prevent us both from having the same relationship we just came out of or been coming out of?
So it is that new relationship, even if it's an old relationship, you can have a new relationship. You can say, what did we do to each other last week and last month? We're repeating the cycle. Maybe we need a counselor. Maybe we just never have a vacation. Maybe our vacation could be in the house and we just treat each other really well, consistently, once a week. We have a Saturday vacation or Sunday afternoon vacation and we start to do the things that we really care about, going to the museum, going to the library, doing poetry, just experiencing each other on a higher level, getting to meet each other, growing together, reading books together and discussing it, looking at films together, documentaries and talking about it. And the relationship will start to grow because relationships die very easy. Just like our organs begin to die, muscles begin to die, and we're in pain, what happens in relationships too. So it takes work to cultivate yourself because it's really yourself, and the relationship gives you the opportunity to see yourself. So you don't come into this relationship blaming each other. And then things will bounce out. Your sexual life will bounce out. Your mental life or the emotional life will bounce out. The economics can bounce out. But it's going to take some self-discovery and some self-reflection with each other, with yourself.
You know, you said something so very important. Well, all of what you said is very important. But, you know, just even reading together, when you can read something together that you find interesting, mutually interesting, then it keeps you on the same. It keeps you on the same page because you're going to discuss whatever your interest is. You're going to find somebody to discuss it with. You know,
yes.
I mean, that's just human nature. You're going to talk about whatever interests you. So, my brother, if you have no interest or even a clue what your mate is interested in, trust me, she's going to talk to somebody about what she's interested in, and you better hope that it's another female. You know what I'm saying? Because there are brothers out here that are into what you're not into and are into what she is into.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Because she can start talking to another female, and because she didn't get love, then she said, well, you know, they start hugging each other and go get intimate. So it doesn't matter at this point, male or female. If you want that relationship to grow, then you're going to have to put some intelligent, loving time if you want to last. If you want to fly by night and thank you, ma'am, you know, that kind of thing, that's, you'll get that. If you want something to be healthy and vibrant, then you have to put that love time in. You have to raise your love zone frequency. And because, you know, going to bed after a while, it gets, you know, boring if that's all it is. If you don't come into the relationship, into the intimacy with creativity, with vitality, with energy, with enthusiasm, you're just laying there just doing this to each other, but there's no frequency, there's no care, and eventually you'll just die anyway. No matter how much sex you get, you're never going to be satisfied because you have to bring into the relationship all of yourself. Your creativity, your vision, your art, your study, all that is what you bring to the table in the relationship. Am I still on call with you? Greetings.
Everybody, thank you so much for your patience. I see that there are people still online. If you are online and you are waiting, I don't know what happened. I'm getting ready to come to somebody and just to see if you're still there, all right? So if I come to you and speak, I'm going to call the last four digits of your number first, okay? So let's see. 2375, I'm coming to you now. If you could just say, hey, I'm here, just let me know, okay? 2375, are you there? Hello? 2375, are you there? Okay, let's try another one. 5785, are you there?
I am.
Hey, 5785, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good, good, good. I don't know what happened, so I'm going to see if I can try to get Queen. Are you going to stick around?
Yeah.
Okay, any thoughts or you want to, let me check and see if somebody else, can you just hold on with me, okay? Don't go away, all right?
Okay.
Let me see. Three, five, two, zero, are you there? 3520? Interesting. Okay, well, my sister.
Can you hear me, Queen of Fua? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Wow. It's really good to see you again, baby. And I must admit, you're looking very, very, very nice these days. I guess life must be treating you well. Oh, me? Well, I've just been doing the same old thing I've always been doing, you know. I've got a new lady now, and it's a little different than it was when I was with you. You know, I think back to when we met, the way I used to be and the cold way I used to act. But more than that, I think of how you changed me with your love and sensitivity. Remember when I used to.
Kissed your lips and you